Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Man-to-man coverage. This is the PFT PM Podcast. And now, your host, Mike Florio.
February 7th edition, PFT PM Podcast. Let's get right to it, five down territory. A couple of press conferences today. Both were supposed to be introducing new head coaches. One did, one did not. I got to give Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, a little bit of credit. Facing the music right away. On the same day, Josh McDaniels was supposed to be introduced as the head coach of the Colts. Not. Ballard. Answering questions, stating his case. And I like how he handled himself. I mean, the point that he made at the press conference launching the search was, I want somebody who's going to be here. And I remember somebody asking Chris Ballard, well, what if the person has concerns about Andrew Luck South? Ballard said it's not the right person. So he answered weeks ago the question that came up today. Hey, do you want somebody who has reservations? Hell no. Hell no. I'm surprised that the Colts didn't affirmatively pull the plug when it felt like McDaniels was having reservations. I was told in the immediate aftermath of the news on Tuesday night, the news that rocked the NFL, that Josh McDaniels was staying in New England, I was told that the Colts were ready for this eventuality. They had three guys ready to go to be interviewed. We know two of the names, Frank Reich, the Eagles offensive coordinator, and Dan Campbell, the assistant coach in New Orleans. Haven't seen the third one yet. But if they knew there was a chance he was going to do this, and they truly want someone who is all in, surprised they just didn't say, hey, Josh, no, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. We're hearing too many things about you not being all in. You need to be all in. But maybe they gave him the benefit of the doubt and thought he would be all in. I still think their biggest mistake came when they announced the deal before he signed the deal. But I think the agent had something to do with this. More on the agent in a second. I want to talk about Ballard first. Andrew Luck mentioned his name a second ago. Ballard says the Colts have no concerns about Luck's health. He's not going to need another surgery. Over the weekend, ESPN reported that Luck may need another surgery. I'm going to say what I told Dan Dockich, radio host in Indianapolis, former basketball coach, about the situation a week or two ago. I said, hey, I don't believe anything at all about Andrew Luck, and won't believe anything about Andrew Luck until I see him play. At this point, it's too jumbled. It's too big of a mess. It's too much equivocation, too much elaboration, too much embellishment, too many lies. Strategic lies, but show me Andrew Luck playing, and then I'll believe that he's healthy. I'm not believing anything else. One last thing about the Ballard press conference. I guess it was a mic drop moment. I was either doing radio in Chicago or doing some videos for NBCSports.com. I didn't see it, but apparently the last thing he said is the rivalry is back on. It's really not a rivalry. And just because Josh McDaniels didn't come to the Colts, that doesn't make the rivalry back on. I like the fire. I like the spirit. But Andrew Luck's never beaten Bill Belichick. The last time they played in a game of significance was the Deflategate game, and the Patriots destroyed the Colts, both with the underinflated balls and without the underinflated balls. I mean, the rivalry would have been back on if Josh McDaniels comes to the Patriots. And, you know, one of the things I heard as I was sniffing around all of this, the idea that the Colts are obsessed with the Patriot way, and they think you just hire a Patriot and you're going to have the Patriot way. It's not about having a coach. It's a top-to-bottom thing. It's going to take time to duplicate the Patriot way. Remember when there was chatter about Bill Belichick leaving the Patriots in the aftermath of the Seth Wickersham article? Remember that? One of the reasons why Belichick isn't going anywhere, the estimation is it's going to take 5 years to get him elsewhere what he has in New England. You just don't flip a switch and it's the Patriot way. It takes time to put everything in place necessary to be the Patriots. The last time the Colts beat the Patriots was 2009, 35-34 in Indianapolis. Wait a minute, 2014. That's the last time. They played in Indianapolis in 2014. The Patriots won 42-20. The Patriots have won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row. And they play again this year in New England. The rivalry? There is no rivalry. There isn't a rivalry until the Colts show they can win, until the Colts show they can compete. They can call the rivalry. The Patriots just look at it as another win. That reminds me of when I was growing up, the West Virginia-Penn State rivalry. It wasn't no damn rivalry. Penn State beat WVU every year. I was at the game in 1984. Jeff Hostetler was the West Virginia quarterback. Place went nuts. 84 and 88. The only two West Virginia-Penn State games I went to were the only two times West Virginia beat Penn State in the last, 50 years? 60 years? I think it was 29 straight losses before 84. Only one more win in 88. And then haven't played them since they left for the Big Ten in 93. Wasn't a rivalry from the perspective of Penn State, just like this isn't a rivalry from the perspective of the Patriots. The Colts can make it a rivalry again, but you're going to need, number one, a healthy Andrew Luck, and number two, a hell of a lot more than Andrew Luck, a hell of a lot more that you don't have now. And right now they don't have a coach. And Colts fans have reason to be salty. The Colts have reason to be upset. There's assistant coaches who are wondering what the hell is going to happen to them. A lot of people have very good cause to be pissed off. But don't call it a rivalry until you can do what you haven't done in nearly 10 years, which is beat the Patriots. I mentioned Bob Lamont. He's now fired Josh McDaniels. You know, this isn't the first time somebody backed out on a verbal contract. Bill Parcells jilted the Buccaneers and the Falcons. His agent didn't fire him. Bill Belichick walked away from a written deal with the Jets. He had a written deal to make him the coach after Bill Parcells stopped being the coach, and Belichick walked out on that. And he had a written contract. And he got a cocktail napkin and he said, I resign as the HC of the NYJ. This is not unprecedented behavior. I'm not justifying or defending it, but this isn't the first time it's happened. Frank Gore reneged on a verbal deal with the Eagles 2 years ago. Or three. And went to the Colts. Colts benefited from a deal not being done until it's done. We hear that time and again. No deal is done until it's done. Shame on the Colts for assuming the deal was done and announcing the deal. And now shame on Lamont for trying to throw his client under the bus. We saw the signs of it when the leaks began that Lamont told Josh McDaniels this would be the biggest mistake of his professional life. Who do you think leaked that? It sure as hell wasn't McDaniels. And now Lamont goes on the record after firing McDaniels. My word is my bond. Once you break that, there's nothing left. Okay? Look, here's what I think's going on. Because even if McDaniels is in the wrong here, you're the guy who represented him. You're the guy who deemed him to have character worthy of you standing up for him and being his agent. You're the guy who misread him if you think there's some sort of character flaw. So you got to own that, Bob Lamont. And you're the guy who was responsible for landing the plane because the Colts were playing fast and loose with the rules, just like the Giants did this year, just like the Lions did this year, just like the 49ers did last year, just like the Atlanta Falcons did 3 years ago. We know how it works. You can't officially hire the guy, but wink, wink, nod, nod, we're hiring the guy. And yes, it's not done until it's done, but I'll get it done. I'll deliver. And if Bob Lamont had any hesitation, what the hell is he doing letting this go forward? And last year, Josh McDaniels double clutched. Josh McDaniels pulled out of the 49ers deal when there were assistant coaches who were under the impression that that's where he was going. Now, there weren't three who had signed, but there were assistant coaches who thought that's where he's going. He was recruiting them based upon the notion that he was going there. So this isn't some new behavior as far as the NFL is concerned, and it's not new behavior as far as Josh McDaniels is concerned. Here's the difference. This time around, Lamont looks even worse because he represents both ends of the relationship. He represents Chris Ballard, and he represents Josh McDaniels. And I think Lamont, who was in a hopeless conflict of interest, and folks, these conflicts happen all the time. And I understand that everybody, to some degree or another, has some sort of a conflict in this weird, crazy business as is the NFL. But there are some conflicts of interest that are sufficiently bad that if you were a lawyer, you'd be disbarred. When you're Bob Lamont and you are representing Jack Del Rio while secretly negotiating a deal for his replacement without telling him, you've got a conflict of interest that cannot be resolved in any way. And I don't even know that telling him would have mattered. Hey, Jack, you know what? Here's what's going on. You see, your boss wants to hire John Gruden. And he then would fire you, obviously. I mean, that's that kind of goes with the territory. He's not going to have two head coaches. I mean, despite the haircut, he's not insane. So here's what's going to happen. If he gets him, then you're out. If he doesn't get him, then you stay. So I'll put in a good word for you, but, you know, I got to do what I got to do for John Gruden. You understand, right? I mean, I got mouths to feed, and I represent both of you. So what am I supposed to do? We're not supposed to put yourself in those situations. Within the law, there are rules of professional conduct that are very clear about conflicts of interest, who you can represent, when you can represent them, how you represent them, all in the name of ethics. And people think lawyers have no ethics. Lawyers are bound by rules of ethics. And if they violate them, they face consequences, professional consequences. Bob Lamont's not a lawyer. He's not bound by anything other than his own conscience. And I don't know how he justified representing Gruden in negotiations with the Raiders while he represented Del Rio, who surely had no idea what was going on, and presumably hasn't fired Bob Lamont, but should. And now we have this situation. And here's what I think is going on. Lamont realizes, you know what? I can't defend both of my clients, both Ballard and McDaniels, in the aftermath of this fiasco. So I'm picking Ballard. And I'm going to shit on McDaniels. That's how I'm going to play this game. It's all McDaniels' fault. So maybe Chris won't get fired. I already got one guy who I thought was going to be the Colts head coach, who's not. So I'm losing part of my fee there. I don't want to lose Chris Ballard's fee either. I don't want him to fire me. I'm going to help him. Because there was chatter immediately last night, Ballard's going to fire Lamont. Maybe Ballard isn't firing Lamont because Lamont fired McDaniels and is now crapping on McDaniels on the way out the door. And the Colts' position is, we had a deal with McDaniels. But I still think the agent has an obligation here. Because, look, I mean, even with the conflict of interest, there is a way for Lamont to navigate this thing. Hey, Chris, hang on a second. Look, before you announce this, you know how Josh can be. Let's not assume it's a done deal until he signs it. I'll get him to Indy, we'll get him to sign, and then we announce it. But let's not do anything until it's official, okay? Are we good there, Chris? There's a lot of blame to go around on this one. Most people are blaming McDaniels. The guy that I think has the most blame is Lamont. And I personally am offended by the behavior. And this dates back to the Raiders. You're making it personal. I am making it personal. Because what he did to Jack Del Rio is unconscionable. It's unconscionable. This one is less of a mess than what he did to Del Rio, working behind his back to try to get Gruden a deal. Gets Gruden a deal. Oh, sorry, Jack, shit happens. You don't get Gruden a deal. Oh, well, hey, we still got Del Rio. I'll send Gruden to Tampa. I'll have another head coach and a net gain of one. Instead of a zero sum. It's not the way business is supposed to happen. And I hope the people who currently are represented by Bob Lamont or the people who would consider hiring him in the future take a close look at Bob Lamont's behavior over the last 6 weeks and ask themselves, do I want to be next? Do I want to throw myself into this cesspool where anything goes? That's the problem now in the NFL. And man, it's amazing to me how many different agents there are who represent players and how few agents represent the coaches. And they're like kingmakers. I've had these conversations. They move the pieces around on the chessboard. It's intoxicating. But in many ways, it's wrong. It's ethically wrong. And if I was Josh McDaniels, I'd be so pissed right now at Bob Lamont. And, you know, McDaniels' best play is to keep his head low and his mouth shut and just keep moving forward. And that seems to be his nature anyway. Again, I'm not defending him against what he did. And Tony Dungy, who I've never heard say a bad word about anyone, he's all in on McDaniels turning the lives upside down of the assistant coaches who signed contracts to join the Colts, assuming that McDaniels was going to do the same. There is blame here for McDaniels, but I will defend him against what I think is an inappropriate assault by the guy who was responsible for making sure this thing got done and who knew or should have known that McDaniels was skittish. If I knew about it, Bob, you should have known about it. But what was Bob doing instead? He was leaking to people like Jason Lockenfour on Sunday. There was nothing to the noise, nothing to the chatter. This smarmy tweet from Lockenfour during the Super Bowl. Nothing to any of it. Okay, Bob. All right. You know, if somebody who has no connection to the relationship whatsoever knows more about what's happening with your client than you do, that's a problem. You're doing McDaniels a favor by firing him. He should have fired you. And you never should have represented both guys in this setting. But that's how it works. Because everybody's driven by the desire to make as much money as possible. And when you get yourself in a position of influence where you know all of the decision makers of the various teams, you are an attractive agent. People are going to be willing to take the risk on the conflict of interest because Bob Lamont's going to deliver one of his guys. So it better be me. Yeah, I'm going to have to hold my nose from time to time. I'm going to have to understand maybe I'm going to get a shiv if one of his bigger clients ends up wanting the job I have. Hey, man, that just goes with the territory. Because if I didn't have Bob Lamont, I wouldn't have this job in the first place. That's how you justify it. I think it all stinks. And it makes me very glad that I'm in this aspect of the business, the far less reputable side of the business, the media. Yeah, right. I need a nap now. Matt Patricia had his press conference today. His key quote, whatever anybody's done in the past doesn't have to do with me. I agree with that, but you know what? It's a good spot for him to be in. No legacy, no Super Bowl appearances, no playoff win since 1991. If I had to choose between a team like that and, you know, hanging around the Patriots and taking over for Bill Belichick, give me the Lions. Absolutely. Now, again, he's going to have to instill the Patriot way. He's going to have to build it. Bob Quinn's been there for 2 years as the GM to start building it in that direction. But now Patricia continues it. And Bob Quinn had the best quote of the day. We're tied at the hip. Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it should be. Head coach and GM, equal accountability. Both succeed or both fail. Both thrive or both leave. This isn't about the GM up in the luxury suite whispering to the owner every time the coach makes a bad call, bad decision. Oh, man, I can't believe he did that. Can you believe he did that? Oh, I can't believe he did that. He really did that. He did that? Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, well, I got to talk to him about that. Yeah, oh, I've got a list. Oh, I've got a list of potential. Yeah, bye week's coming up. Yeah, this is all on him. We have a talented team. I don't know what to do. I thought he would be better than this. No, that's not how it's going to work in Detroit. Also, I like that Matt Patricia trimmed up his beard. No giant suit for him. He cleaned it up. Although it looked like the shirt, that Honolulu blue looks a lot like that T-shirt. That T-shirt with the clown nose. Something about that Honolulu blue, Matt Patricia, but at least he trimmed the beard and he didn't wear the giant suit. Something I thought of earlier today on PFT Live, right? Ben McAdoo interviewed once or twice for the Giants job before he got it. I assume he wore a suit to the interview. If he had a suit that fit him better than the suit he wore to his introductory press conference, I assume he wore that suit to the interview. Well, that's the suit he should have worn to the press conference. I mean, was he thinking, well, you know, the boss has already seen the other suit. I only got one left, and it's the giant suit from when I was a lot bigger. But you learn a lot. First impressions mean a lot in this business. All right. I'm doing four downs, five downs. What is that? We did Ballard, Lamont, Patricia. Fourth down, Doug Peterson and emotional intelligence. Remember that term? Jeff Lurie threw it out there. It's not just being smart. It's understanding how to interact with other humans. I don't think Bill Belichick has much of it. And I think Doug Peterson has more than enough. The Philly special play. His players feel empowered to come over and suggest to him a play call. Is it their job? Do your job. Don't suggest, but it's not your job to call. Is it your job to call plays? No, do your job. Your job is to execute the plays. Your job is to do the thing that you're allowed to do. I don't think Doug Peterson would ever say that. I don't think in Philly the idea is do your job. I think in Philly the idea is do what you think you need to do to help us win. And if it strays beyond your job description, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you for caring enough beyond that very linear existence that you would fulfill if you were a robot. Thank you for being more aware than a robot is. Thank you for not being just a piece in a machine, but also one of the people who has helped driving that piece of equipment. I thought that clip was great. I was blown away. Nick Foles comes over to the sideline. Philly. He meant to say Philly special, but Peterson knew what he was talking about. Peterson pauses for a good second, maybe two. Yeah, let's do it. No ego, no pride. You know what? The kid's got a good idea. Let's do it. And, some quarterbacks may have called that because they want to be the hero in the moment. Because ultimately that play results in Nick Foles catching a touchdown pass. But when you trust your guy, when you know your guy, you don't think that. You don't have time for cynicism. Yeah. You know what? That'll work. Let's do it. I think that Doug Peterson and the Eagles are going to be around for a while, and he's told his players this is the new normal. And there ain't anything normal about it as far as Philly's concerned, because there could be more Super Bowl trophies. There could be more people eating horse poop. Is that 1, 2, 3? That was fourth down. All right, fifth down. Russell Wilson traded by the Texas Rangers to the New York Yankees. Why? Isn't that weird? Is this just a way for the Yankees to get a little... Is this like... Hey, everybody, remember us. We're baseball. You're horning in on football. Is baseball that smitten with and jealous of football that they got to trade Russell Wilson? He's never going to play baseball. What the hell is this? That was my first reaction. What, it's some sort of gimmick? And it's not like the Yankees need a little sizzle, right? The Yankees are the Yankees. I don't think they're going to call him up to the show. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I thought when Russell Wilson got his big money contract with the Seahawks, the baseball thing would end. I'm surprised they didn't insist on the baseball thing ending, because at one point it was like some weird leverage for Russell Wilson. Oh, I'll just go play baseball. Unspoken leverage. He signs a new contract. He's still allowed to go do this. And, guys can get injured doing anything. And we're getting toward the time of the year where teams have to ask themselves, do we want a guy who's going to sit around and watch TV and eat pork rinds and only work out when he's in our building? Or do we want a guy who's going to be active and work different muscles and see different things? There is a chance Russell Wilson gets injured playing baseball, but I think it's a risk that the New York Yankees, or no, the Seattle Seahawks, excuse me, are willing to take. And I think the Yankees are willing to incur the risk of Wilson getting injured playing football and not being available to come be part of the dog and pony show at spring training next year. The whole thing is just odd to me. I don't know why Wilson would want to do it. I don't know why the Yankees would care. It's just odd to me. All right, time to answer some of your questions on this Wednesday PFT PM. My internet at my house isn't working, so I'm going to have to try to make this work. I got 53 questions here. Pulling it up on the cell phone device. My son says, sup. That's not a question. Ask me a question, son. At Charlie Bucket 44, two people are hanging off a cliff. You can only save one from imminent death. Not, it's not imminent, Charlie. It's imminent, not imminent. Who do you save, PFT commenter or Barstool Big Cat? Wow. Boy, that's a tough question. I think I just let them both fall. I don't think I could deal with one without the other. I just walk away. That's a shame. At Triple X Andman, Zandman, will Kraft, Bill Belichick ever stop bleeping the Colts for Deflategate from now until the end of time? I don't think this has anything to do with Deflategate. I saw that Shefty had a text with a nasty word bleeped out of it. Ooh, Shefty, you're so edgy. I saw that this is all about Deflate. It's not about Deflategate. It's not about Deflategate. It's about keeping your guy. They want to keep their guy. They're not trying to stick it to the Colts. They want to keep their guy, and they kept their guy. Sergio D., interested as to why you're placing so much blame on Bob Lamont when Josh McDaniels seems totally to blame. Surely in your legal career you've been misled by a client. I don't disagree with that. I was misled by a client. I'll tell you what, I had one client who lied to me, and he wasn't my client the next day. Once I caught him. But, see, in the law profession, you don't have the same client year after year after year after year, not when you're representing individuals. When you know, you're representing an individual for a case. When you represent somebody in this setting, you represent them for 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. Lamont knew or should have known what Josh McDaniels is all about. Lamont was responsible for landing the plane, especially because he was representing both Ballard and McDaniels. It was on him to deliver it or to warn everyone involved, look, this isn't going to work. Hey, Josh, you know how you are, Josh. Are you sure this is the time? I feel like Lamont tried to jam McDaniels into that gig. He tried to arrange a marriage between two of his clients. He tried to be the king master, and it blew up in his face. And he should have known. He has responsibility here. If you're going to play puppet master, when you get the strings all twisted up, you've got some responsibility. It takes a potato. I don't know why it makes me laugh. Kirk Cousins, 5 years, $200 million for the Vikings. Yeah, I think they could get him for less than that. That's $40 million a year. Potato. Come on, potato. Be better. At It's Tay One, can we reevaluate the tiebreaker rules? The Chargers' point differential was significantly better than the Titans and the Bills, but were the odd man out. Also beat the Bills by a ton. We're still going there 6 weeks later. Come on. The tiebreakers are what they are, and the Chargers didn't get in. Win more games. Don't rely on tiebreakers to get in. That's how you get in. At Some Days the Dog, any good book suggestions for the offseason? Football knowledge, strategy, biographies, anything else? I try to read like one or two books at any given time. I don't finish all of them. The Chuck Knoll biography is something I got stuck almost halfway through. I like something that really engages me. So many nonfiction books aren't engaging. I want something that makes me want to finish it. And fiction is really the only thing that you... Isn't it weird? Like, you learn things with nonfiction, but you really have to discipline yourself to keep reading it. So much nonfiction isn't naturally engaging. Some is. But, like, fiction moves, and it catches you, and it captures your imagination, and you want to keep reading it. You feel like you're reading for a school assignment, nonfiction. But I do enjoy nonfiction. I just feel like it takes discipline. It takes initiative. So I'm just rambling here. I don't have any specific ideas. I'm still trying to finish Bruce Springsteen's biography. I'd forgotten all about that. When I got all these books on my phone, and they're half read, and it makes me feel very inadequate that I don't finish them. I feel like I need to go back and finish all of them before I buy a new book on my phone. At HugeAss1, which coach named Matt will end up being the better hire? Are we talking Patricia or Nagy? Is there another Matt that I'm not thinking of? I don't know. They think Patricia's smarter than Belichick in New England, which is saying something. And Patricia's got the better quarterback, so we'll see. At Balls Hog Show, do the Colts have to satisfy the Rooney Rule again? No, because they never had a coach. They've already satisfied it as part of this search. The search continues because the coach they offered the job to ultimately didn't accept it legally. They can go forward and interview whoever they want. At Be the Waves 11 or Bethel Waves. Sorry, Bethel. Bethel Waves, not Be the Waves. Bethel Waves 11. What do the Buffalo Bills have to do to move up in the top five to draft a quarterback who would be willing trade partners? Okay, I got to get the, and my internet's not working, or I would get the draft order. They have two first-round picks. Oh, wait, it's working right now. They have two first-round picks. I think they're 21 and 22. And I don't know that those are enough to get all the way to the top five, right? Last year, it took 27, a first-round pick this year, and a third-round pick to go to 10. I think you're going to have to be ready to do a little bit better than two first-round picks to get to the top five. Let's see. Where's the order here? Browns, Giants, Colts, Browns, Broncos. Now, a lot of this depends upon whether or not the Broncos get Kirk Cousins. If they get Kirk Cousins, they could maybe trade down from five. The Giants, are they going to draft a quarterback at two? Or would they trade down? If I'm the Giants and I'm sticking with Eli Manning for at least one more year, I'd be inclined to trade down and get more lottery tickets. Take those two first-round picks plus more from the Bills. I do think the Bills are going to try to trade up. I do think that the Bills, when they decided last year to bench Tyrod Taylor, the message was, we don't think this guy's ever going to be a franchise quarterback. We need a franchise quarterback. We need a Jim Kelly. And even though they made it to the playoffs last year, look how they made it to the playoffs. By the skin of their teeth on a fluke play. You want to make the playoffs easily. You don't have to be worrying about, are we going to make the playoffs? You want to make the playoffs. You want to barge through that door every year. That's what you need, and that's what a franchise quarterback does. And that's why I think that that's what they're going to try to do. At Secret 08, is Jason Garrett on the hot seat? Well, you know what? With Jerry Jones, he supports you completely and totally and unconditionally and unequivocally until the moment that he doesn't. So he's not on the hot seat. He never will be on the hot seat. You're either fired or not fired. Right now, Garrett not fired. One day, Jerry Jones is going to roll out of bed potentially, and Garrett's going to be fired. And the one thing to keep in mind with Garrett, he has the right personality and temperament to coexist with Jerry Jones. He lets Jerry Jones bask in all the glory, lets Jerry Jones think that he's running the show while Stephen Jones and Jason Garrett run the show. And there's value in that to Jerry Jones, regardless of whether or not they're making the proper game day adjustments or the proper game day planning. Remember the fiasco against the Falcons this year where Tyron Smith was out and they didn't give the replacement enough help and they never adjusted? Not enough in-game adjustments, too much adherence to system. That is going to keep the Cowboys, unless they just have supreme talent and it doesn't matter whether or not they adjust, that's going to keep the Cowboys from getting what Jerry Jones wants, which, above all else, is to win a championship with a team that he created, that he didn't bend a knee for Bill Parcells or Jimmy Johnson, that he did it, and he can say, I built this. I already have three Super Bowl rings with teams I didn't build. I want one with a team that I did build. Terry Gensler, 14, do you think the Patriots laid out a plan to McDaniels that involved them drafting a quarterback with pick 31, specifically Washington State's Luke Falk? I don't think it was that detailed. I don't think that McDaniels, I think if McDaniels is going in there saying, well, I'm leaving because I don't know about the quarterback succession plan. If you're that, you're not there because of the quarterback. You're there because you want to be part of the organization. You're there because it's been a great ride for you and you want it to continue. You'll work out those details later. You don't obsess over players on the roster when you decide whether or not you're going to leave. I think it's a bigger picture question than that. I don't think they said, hey, we guarantee you that we'll do this. I don't think they made any guarantees. And I definitely don't think that they made a commitment, a written commitment, that Josh McDaniels will take over for Belichick whenever he leaves. So many people think that. I don't. I don't. Because who knows how long Belichick's going to stay. And I don't think Belichick's going to say, well, Josh, I'm going to stay two more years and then you take over. I don't see that happening. I don't see that kind of clarity being provided. McDaniels is making the leap of faith here. And we'll see if it ends up in him being the head coach of the Patriots. It's going to be hard for him to be the head coach anywhere else after what he did to the Colts. That's for damn sure. Terry Gensler, 14, has another question. What are the chances of Philly keeping John DeFilippo? Look, this came up yesterday and I hadn't really thought it through. When the Vikings can't interview John DeFilippo until his contract fully expires, that's the Eagles buying time in the hopes that they can convince DeFilippo to stay, either as the quarterback's coach with a healthy raise or as the offensive coordinator if Frank Reich isn't there anymore. And now, boom, Frank Reich is one of the guys interviewing for the Colts job. This could work out very well for the Eagles. There are some who think that the Eagles want to keep DeFilippo. Between DeFilippo and Reich, they want him, and they wouldn't be all that upset if Reich leaves. So maybe this works out perfectly. DeFilippo remains as the offensive coordinator in Philly, and the Vikings have to find another offensive coordinator. The only thing is, if DeFilippo would go to Minnesota, he'd have the keys to the offense, because Mike Zimmer's a defensive guy, and he delegates the whole offense to the coordinator. In Philly, you're still working behind Doug Peterson, who calls the plays. At Ezra Rodriguez, regarding McDaniel staying, can you give insight into why some outlets reported so strongly he had never wavered on going to Indy when it seems like they had to know otherwise? I think those folks were only listening to the people who were incorrectly saying he hasn't wavered. And I think those people were listening to Bob Lamont. And either Bob Lamont was lying or Bob Lamont was misinformed. But, you know, a lot of times when there are incorrect reports, and I remember years ago, 10 years ago maybe, when Eli Manning had an injury, I think it was a knee, maybe it was an MCL, Mort reported that he was going to miss 4 weeks. And then Manning played, and Mort took a lot of heat for it, and Mort's response was, well, my source told me he was going to miss 4 weeks. Yeah, we're only as good as our sources, right? So you have to decide in this business who you trust. Who do you trust? And you learn that over time. And I think the longer you do this, if you had good intuition, and also if you pay attention to the accuracy, and I know which people reach out to me with stuff all the time. I know who not to listen to, and I know who to listen to. And for me, there's usually like a breaking in period when I get to know someone. They tell me something's going to happen, and I wait and see if it happens. Then, okay, well, the next time around, I'll listen to you a little more carefully, and eventually I'll start relying upon you. You know, I have one person who will keep me in the loop on things that are heard on the grapevine, and, hey, I got a pretty good track record, don't I? Well, no. No, you don't. What do you mean? 90% of the things I tell you come to pass. Well, that's right, but 10% don't. You know, this isn't baseball, where you can bat 300 and be an all-star. The goal is to be right all the time. The goal is to pass along information that is accurate. And what I passed along about McDaniels was it wasn't accurate simply because he ended up not leaving for the Colts. It was accurate because he truly was wavering. There was a sense people in the know believed that there was a chance he was going to stay with the Patriots. And just because he was going to go to the Colts doesn't mean he didn't go through that process of not knowing what to do. I mean, you know, yesterday I kept my mouth shut when people who were either being deliberately obtuse or just don't have the logic to understand that it is indeed possible for Josh McDaniel to leave the Patriots and go to the Colts and also have had a period of time where he was thinking about staying. We all have second thoughts from time to time. I think it's healthy to have doubts and process those doubts. Then when it came time to put the pen to paper, that moment of clarity. And what I love about this case is we've all been there. The moment of clarity, when you have to sign something, whether it's buying a house, a car, taking out a loan. You're like, oh shit, am I really gonna do this? Oh God. Oh, here we go. And you feel your hand, you're extra conscious of your finger on the pen while it's signing your name, and you're pressing extra hard because you feel the weight of the circumstance. Sometimes it takes that moment of clarity. That's why they need to change the rules, to let these teams sign these coaches while their current teams are still playing, so you can get the commitment, a binding legal commitment. Then once the season ends, sorry, I've had second thoughts. Well, you know, we got a document here that says you're our coach, so you either work for us or you work for no one. You've already made the commitment. And I think once you sign it, it takes on a higher degree of gravity. And you are all in at that point. You got no choice at that point. So they need to change that rule, not for the benefit of the current team who, well, you know, distractions. No. There needs to be certainty. If these teams are going to negotiate and have a wink-nod deal anyway, they need to just let them formalize it so this kind of stuff doesn't happen. At C. Crawl, Don't you find it ironic that the Patriots won Super Bowl 49 because of Malcolm Butler and maybe lost Super Bowl 52 because of Butler? As a Seahawks fan, I get a good laugh out of this. Well, yeah, yeah. And it wasn't Butler as much as it was Bill Belichick being too stubborn to put Butler in the game. And Bill Belichick thinking it made sense to drop it on everyone 2 hours before kickoff. Not his finest moment. Not his finest moment at all. At Sean Alvashar, when will Stephen A. Smith co-host PFT PM? At the Crow's Nest, who should the Patriots target on defense to get younger, faster, and better? It's too early in this phase of the offseason. And here's the thing. The Patriots, I was surprised last year when they paid too much, when they paid market value to Stephon Gilmore. And I was watching that Bill 30 for 30 last night. And I got a kick out of the game plans that Bill Belichick came up with that defied Bill Parcells' idea of big and fast and strong. Not big and fast and strong, big and strong. He'd want to go nickel all game or dime all game. They played the Lions 1 year when Mouse Davis was running the run and shoot, and they had Barry Sanders, and they wanted six defensive backs on the field at all times, and Bill Parcells blew a gasket. You got to have the flexibility to match whatever the offense is going to do. You need fast guys, and you need big guys, and you need a good blend, and you need depth, and you need veterans, and you need young guys. And I trust Bill Belichick, the GM. I just, emotional intelligence, we talked about it earlier. He mishandled the Butler situation, and that may have cost him the ability to change the name of his boat from 7 rings to 8 rings. At Bored to Death, what do you believe the market value would be to sign Case Keenum or Teddy Bridgewater to a long-term deal? I imagine Keenum would cost a decent chunk more than Bridgewater, but what's your best estimate? Well, first of all, we have to figure out whether or not Bridgewater is still under contract for 2018. His contract may toll. That came up last week in Minnesota. The Vikings tight-lipped about it. I need to poke around a little bit more on what's going on with that, and more specifically and more importantly, when there would be a ruling on that, because time is of the essence. Keenum, you know, I don't know what his market value is. Between 15 and 20 million a year? It depends on who wants him. Everybody's focused on Kirk Cousins. Case Keenum's out there. Who's going to pursue Case Keenum? And the only way the Vikings certainly have him is to go franchise tag. You know, somebody was suggesting last week, Case Keenum gets franchise tag, Teddy Bridgewater gets his contract told. But that's just fundamentally unfair to pay Case Keenum $23 million, to pay Teddy Bridgewater roughly $1.5 million based upon his told contract from last year and let him compete. What if Bridgewater wins? You're paying your backup $23 million? They just have to make a decision in Minnesota about who they want their quarterback to be and how they're going to handle this. And are they after Kirk Cousins? Are they going to stick with one of the guys they have? It's going to be cheaper to keep Teddy Bridgewater because who's going to offer him big money when they don't know how that knee is? And they won't know until he plays. Remember, the Dolphins thought Dante Culpepper's knee was fine. They gave up a second-round pick to get him. And what happened? He was never the same. Terry Gensler, 14, is Washington having a deal worked out with Alex Smith technically tampering? No, because the Chiefs allowed it. The Chiefs worked out the trade, and the Chiefs gave Washington permission to negotiate the contract. But, you know, something that I said earlier today on PFT Live, let me just mention this again. Probably should wrap this up. The fact that the Josh McDaniels deal wasn't done until it was done and he walked away. Now, look at what came out over the weekend, that stupid Sunday Splash report. And I think Washington put Shefty up to this, that they're considering using the franchise tag on Kirk Cousins. You know what? If you're Alex Smith, you can say, I know I agreed to terms on a contract extension with Washington, but I don't like what I'm hearing about this Kirk Cousins franchise tag scenario. And if they tag him and he signs it, they got two starting quarterbacks at that point. You know, Smith now has to be wary of the possibility that Washington tags Cousins thinking he's not going to sign it, and he does, and then they have to say, oh, shit, we can't trade for Alex Smith now. We're just going to go all in with Cousins. Sorry, Alex, but you know how it goes. Deal's not done until it's done. That whole thing could still blow up over this goofy idea that they could maybe use the franchise tag on Kirk Cousins. Okay, a couple more. At Onsite 624, do you put ketchup in the fridge or the pantry? I thought once you opened it, you had to refrigerate it. Doesn't it say refrigerate after opening? I think it does. Hey, pal. You may want to throw out that ketchup that's been lingering in the pantry. I think you refrigerate it once you open it. I think you do. At Beaver 15, what's your favorite M&M's, plain or peanut? These are the insightful questions that you hang around for. Without question, peanut. The only problem is, once I start eating peanut M&M's, I'm physically unable to stop. And down in the barn, we get the little bags, the tiny little bags. They're like six for a dollar, all individual. So much is wasted on like packaging. It's a big package where these six little bags of M&M's are in there. And, you know, they're small enough, so there's no calories, right? So you just eat the whole, you eat all six packs, and you feel like you haven't had anything. So that's how I roll with my M&M's. Peanut, please. All right, let's see what else is going on here. I probably should go. I always like to go out on a high note. I know that y'all have taken the time to ask these questions. I'd like to answer every single one of them. And let's just call it. There's a lot of stuff I've already talked about. Oh, here's one. Let me address this, and then I'll go. At Black 88 Elite, what teams might offer a pick for Foles? I had NFL Network on last night. I think it was James Jones and Reggie Bush, and the two hosts were talking about Nick Foles. And they were talking about it like he's going to be a free agent. People, he's under contract for another year. He doesn't jump into the same pool with Kirk Cousins and Case Keenum and anybody else who's going to be a free agent. The Eagles can squat on him, and the Eagles are going to. The Eagles have no reason to do anything other than sit and wait for the phone to ring. Your best leverage when it comes to anything that you own, whether it's a contract on an employee or a car, a house, whatever, is to say, I'm not interested. It's not for sale. I've had people say to me, hey, how much you want for your house? Well, it's not for sale. Oh, really? Oh, come on. How much you want? It's not for sale. Okay, how about this? No, it's not for sale. There's a number where I'd say, yeah, I guess it's for sale. Same thing with Foles. If somebody makes Eagles an offer they can't refuse, then that's who gets him. And I think that, you know, you're going to have a team that maybe doesn't get the guy that they think they're going to get in free agency, or a team that doesn't get the guy they think they're going to get in the draft, or a Teddy Bridgewater scenario where somebody tears up an ACL late in the offseason, close to the start of the regular season, and all of a sudden the Eagles do what they did with Sam Bradford 2 years ago. You flip Nick Foles for somebody who's desperate. And let's keep that in mind. And what's Nick Foles going to do? He isn't wired to say, I want out. I've earned the right to go play for another team. He's content to be the backup. He's content to make $7 million. And the Eagles are in a position to pay him $7 million because Carson Wentz is still in the third year of his rookie contract. Wentz actually makes less this year than Nick Foles, which I guess is fitting since Foles is a Super Bowl MVP. But think about that. Super Bowl MVP making $7 million. Somebody's going to pay Kirk Cousins, what, $28, $29, $30 million a year? He hasn't won a playoff game. Stats and I got into an argument yesterday, and I was legitimately pissed at Stats. He was trying to demean the performances of Nick Foles. You have to give the guy credit. Beat the Falcons, beat the Vikings, beat the Patriots. And was fearless and accurate and smart and insightful, and he knew when it was time to go to the Philly special, and it worked. And I think we all have to reevaluate what we thought about Nick Foles based upon that disastrous year with the Rams. I know I have. All right. Hey, thank you for your time. If you've made it this far, if you haven't, well, thank you anyway. We'll do this again on Thursday, most likely. You know, Thursday's the day that I try not to do it, but we'll see. We'll see what kind of mood I'm in tomorrow. I definitely have to do PFT Live. We'll do that in the morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. ProFootballTalk.com, open around the clock. Thanks as always, and have a great day. We'll talk maybe Thursday, definitely Friday.
You can find the PFT PM podcast on Art19, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you like what you hear, and you will, subscribe for automatic downloads. Leave a rating and review. That'll help new listeners find our show and push us up the charts. Search PFT PM for your evening update from Pro Football Talk.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.